Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Hey, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for all of you people that hung on. Thank you so much. We're transitioning to the third hour, as promised. Jason Robb's going to remain for maybe he's about a segment. He says he has time. But now we're bringing on Brother Paul Fromm, like he's fond of saying. He's from the formerly great white north, not so white anymore if you discount the snow. So I think we're going to talk about one thing we're going to talk about. Well, I'm going to shut up and let Paul Fromm tell you what we're going to talk about in this hour, because this hour here belongs to Paul Fromm. He's so gracious to come on the program. I already sent the show notes in, but I listed some of Paul's accolades. The guy who's like head of the Council of Conservative Citizens, head of something like the Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression, all kind of things like that. He's been an activist for well over 50 years. I don't know anybody more respected that's a white nationalist patriot than Paul Fromm. He's been around for a long time. So anyway, I'm so glad you're on tonight, Paul. I want you to come on and tell the people. Well, everybody knows who you are, but you can say who you are, and you can let people know what you're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I'm the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and also the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. When I first meet people and they say, well, you know, what are your interests? I say immigration and free speech. Too much immigration and not enough free speech in Canada. Now, I want to talk about briefly about the results of the federal election we had on Monday, and also about a very sinister group, tell you a little bit about the way they operate. They want to massively flood Canada with third world immigration and basically accomplish the displacement or replacement of the white race, of the European founding settler people. Anyway, the election was hard fought. It was the polls up until January had shown for a year that the Conservatives would win, were up by 30 points. They would decimate the present Socialist Liberals and a small Socialist Party called the New Democratic Party. Anyway, what was holding them back was the massive unpopularity of Justin Trudeau, the then Prime Minister. There was a lot of backroom machinations, but he resigned, and a new leadership contest was declared. Now, what was going on is that what we sometimes call the Laurentian elite, named after the rock formation that covers most of northern Canada, but essentially it's the elite powers in Montreal and Toronto. They panicked because they were going to be replaced by the Conservatives, who are not 100% great either. But so what they did is they engineered the resignation of Justin Trudeau, so he stepped down. A Liberal leadership contest was held, and out of it emerged the fair-haired boy of the Laurentian elite, and that is a banker named Mark Carney. Mark Carney had been the head of the Bank of Canada back in 2008 and 9, and then he was the head of the Bank of England. He's a major tool of the UN. Chaired a group that wanted to successfully put pressure on banks right across the world to cut back their lending to the to the oil and natural gas industry. Now, that group has begun to fall apart. Good. Carney, we saw, is basically Trudeau with brains. Trudeau was a sort of an actor, didn't have a lot, he was a trust fund kid, didn't have a lot of background in the real world or in the workaday world. And whereas Carney had a lot of experience and was quite intelligent and quite devious. So he's Trudeau with brains. To show how much they feared the populist revolt, the first thing he did was remove the carbon tax, which he had supported. That's good. What we fear is that he remains a committed globalist. He wrote a book called called Values, and in that book he outlined the fact that we are in an existential crisis. He said we have to save the planet. We're going to have to accept a much lower standard of living, colder winters, so use less fuel, warmer summers, use less air conditioning, a much more expensive transportation. That means food will be much more expensive. We're going to have to get away from meat. We'll probably be eating crickets. So this is all in his book, and he's never repudiated it. But he came out on as a new man. The Liberal Party platform, incredible hypocrisy. They said, this is true, but Carney supported it. Since the pandemic, the previous federal government has let immigration levels grow at a rapid and unsustainable pace, with our housing and social infrastructure failing to absorb all the people arriving. That's true. He's talking about his predecessor's government. He's talking about the government whose cabinet ministers and many of whose members are in his new government. You wouldn't trust a fellow as far as you could throw him. Anyway, the results of the election. The Conservatives did very well. They increased their hold of the popular vote considerably. They came within three seats of the Liberals. They increased their seats by 23, I think, in the Parliament of 338 seats. So they did very well. So they kept the Liberals to a minority government, but the Liberals still have the most seats. So that was good. The Liberals' victory was bad. The Conservative leader lost his seat and will have to try to get elected, get somebody to resign so he can get elected. The best party, the People's Party of Canada, was the victim of absolute sabotage. The Conservative Party would appear to have infiltrated the candidates, and these candidates failed to submit their papers. So where the party thought it had committed candidates, on the day of the deadline for submitting your papers, 90 of their 310 candidates suddenly disappeared. And in the mainstream press, they were hardly ever mentioned. They got 5% of the vote in the 2019 election, and they got almost no publicity at all. And on election night, one of the commentators on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, a fellow named Andrew Coyne, said that one of the great achievements of the Conservative Party leader was that he had managed to destroy the People's Party, and that will no longer have to face pressure from the right. So they were the victims of a conspiracy. It was a hard blow. They didn't elect anybody. The percentage of the vote fell considerably. and they will have to rebuild. But we now have a Liberal government pretending to be middle of the road. So part of this, I have to say, although I really admire him and like a lot of his policies, I have to blame Donald Trump. Donald Trump so scared Canadians that they were open to switching back to the Liberals. The Liberals were basically toast in January. All the threats of tariffs and the belligerent attitude and the talk of our becoming the 51st state, it stampeded people back to the Liberal Party, who now had a new leader, a banker, who could deal with President Trump.
We got to get to a quick break, Paul. We got to go to our first break, brother. Hold that thought. Be right back.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born. Dear Blood River Radio family, we're getting ready to go back to Paul and Jason. But a quick note. I've got a message from Mike Weaver. We were just talking about this anti-Semitic legislation and stuff. But, it's a felony in Florida to hand out some of these pamphlets. And some of Mike Weaver's people are in jail, being held in Georgia. They haven't been charged. They've been in jail for many, many days. Haven't been charged. Haven't been brought before a judge. Nothing. Just being kept there. Mike is in hiding now because they have a warrant out for his arrest. And I'm allowed to say that, but we may be able to get him on in the near future because he's on the lam. I mean, it's getting bad, folks. Anyway, we're going to go back to Jason. Rob has got a few questions they talked about. They had a great commentary during the break. And so Jason is going to ask Paul a few questions about this election. Man, these people, they're geniuses at screwing us up in these elections. I don't know how they think it all up. But anyway, go ahead, yeah. Jason. Ask Paul some of those questions you talked about.
Yeah, so Paul, on the election up there in Canada, what was the demographics as far as the baby boom generation and the younger crowd? Because I was reading on the internet about the baby boom generation that you would think would be more conservative, obviously, the white stock, they would be against the Liberal Party and more favor the conservative. And how, on this article I was reading about how they actually had voted for the Liberal Party, and I was just wondering how you could break that down for us.
Yeah, you can't cure stupid. And
that's true.
The globalists and the conspirators have learned the value of instilling fear. We saw that during COVID. Scare the population witless, and they'll do whatever you say. Now, not everybody, and there was a growing rebellious and freedom movement in Canada, true, but many people got so scared. I saw them. You could tell them to cut off their right foot, and they would, because COVID was going to get them otherwise. And fear works, and it worked on my generation. You're right. In general, they might tend to support the conservatives, and the conservatives, to their credit, raised a lot of good issues. Criticized this anti-carbon insanity, or the net zero, and their slogan was "Axe the tax." That's the carbon tax. But people were terrified with President Trump's belligerent attitude, saying Canada would be better off as the 51st state, and there would be ways to make that happen. That wasn't just, at least many people saw that, it's not just hot air, but a real threat. There are the tariffs. They're changing every day. First they're on, then they're being held back for a month or two. And the instability and the uncertainty scared a lot of people of my generation who thought, well, will our pensions be safe? What about the house I've, poured my life and money into? Will its value plummet? And the Liberals said, we've got a guy. He's a former banker. He's got connections, and he'll be able to handle Trump. That argument is weak on many, many levels, but that's what they were effective at selling. Although the conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre, did very well and increased the conservative vote, the landslide didn't happen because the Canadians felt, or many Canadians felt, that the banker, Mark Carney, would be better at negotiating with Donald Trump than the conservative leader. And ironically, at the same time, though, the conservatives did unusually well with the young vote, especially young white males, because they look to a future that isn't very bright. Housing prices are so high, many of them believe that they will never get to own their own home. Employment is iffy, especially for white males, because under DEI, women and minorities get preference. They find the employment scene bad. So they flock to the conservatives. The conservatives did very well. It's just that the liberals did slightly better in an election that the conservatives should have absolutely swept. So the Donald Trump factor was very big, and I hate to say that because I believe in a lot of what Donald Trump has done and achieved. The border is securing much of the American border, really great, deporting a good number of really scummy people, abolishing DEI in the federal government, good. But these tariffs and the threat of war and the uncertainty, handed the Canadian government, the Canadian government to the left, strategically. I think Trump should have left Canada alone.
I have a question, Paul.
Yes.
I'm always looking for an ulterior motive. Ulterior, which are, Paul's an English man. Is it possible? And, I think like this now. I guess I've become callous and suspicious. I don't trust Trump. Yes, he's deported 14 of these illegals, but what people don't realize, we're absolutely covered up with Indians. My God, he loves these Indian people. Memphis, Tennessee is covered up with Indians, people from India taking these high tech jobs. We're covered up with people from
same up here. Half of India is in Canada,
and we're covered up with these people from Pakistan, places like that. I'm absolutely overrun with them. I'm going to get to my question in just a second, or my comment. But I went to the park this past Sunday. I mean, I lose count. It used to be Shelby Farms, one of the largest urban parks in the United States, if not the world. You never see white people there anymore. They'll never admit it. These white people, these beautiful white people, will never admit that they're afraid of these non-whites, but they're scared to death of them. But it was absolutely covered up with them. And they drive across areas in their cars where you're not supposed to drive, the green areas. They set up tents and sleeping bags. And they're having cookouts and cooking. God only knows what. I mean, thousands of them. You can't even run on the trails for them. They're blocking the damn trails. And if there's been any deportation going on, I sure as hell can't see it here in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was just telling on the second hour thing, it was Memphis is being colonized. There's whole areas of Memphis which is Hispanic store. We used to have a Kroger's, an A&P. Stores like that. It's now these Hispanic grocery stores, Hispanic businesses. But my question is, I don't trust Trump. I think I know for sure he's controlled by the Jews. He's controlled by Netanyahu. I agree with that Colonel McGregor says he's a part of a ventriloquist. When Netanyahu says something, Trump speaks. And could he have possibly done this, Trump acting like a dictator toward Canada, a fellow white nation, in order to throw that election to the left? Was he thinking that? Because the guy's not stupid. Do you think he could have done that just to screw the election, to start threatening, like a dictator, threatening Canada with all kinds of horrible tariffs when we should be friends with fellow white people? Did he do that to throw the election to a damn, I think communists and socialists are the same thing. Do you think he did that, Paul? Is that a bridge too far?
The same thought occurred to me, Eddie, and I don't want to believe it, and it may not be true, but he said, Trump said that he preferred he liked Mark Carney, Mark the liberal. Globalist. He's a person I can do business with. He said nothing good about the conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre, who has never got into an argument with Trump. I couldn't see why would you want a person whose ideology is very is opposed to most of what Trump believes in why would you want him as opposed to a man who is a moderate conservative. He and the conservative leader and Trump would get along on a number of issues. I absolutely do not see it. And as you say, Trump is not a stupid man. And his influence was great in the election, I'm afraid to say.
Well, Paul, we'll revisit that as soon as we get back to this break. This is going to be a 5-minute break. You have time to get coffee, use the restroom where you need to do. You have plenty of time. We'll go right back to, we'll bring Jason in when we come back from this break. Be right back, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening. listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. April jobs report shows the unemployment rate has remained steady.
The Labor Department reported Friday that U.S. employers added 177,000 jobs in April. The unemployment rate was unchanged at 4.2%. Both numbers, which demonstrate that the U.S. labor market remains in good condition, are based on surveys taken in the immediate wake of the Trump administration's move in early April to institute the highest level of tariffs on imports since the 1930s. The gain extended the streak of U.S. job growth to 52 months. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Numbers are in on efforts by the Department of Government Efficiency to rein in fraud, abuse, and waste by the Uncle Sam's government. Here's correspondent Ken Lorman.
Since January, 200,000 federal employees have been laid off, while over 75,000 accepted a buyout option known as deferred retirement. In total, more than 260,000 federal workers have been dismissed since President Trump took office. Elon Musk, who heads up Doge, says the department is making progress, but acknowledged that it, quote, could be more effective. Yet, so far, Doge has saved the government over $160 billion. Ken Lorman, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, President Trump maintaining his threat to keep Harvard University in check.
President Trump is re-upping his threat to strip Harvard University of its tax-exempt status. He's escalating a showdown with the first major college that has defied his efforts to crack down on campus activism. The president has questioned that status since the school refused to comply with the administration's demands for broad government and leadership changes, revisions to its admissions policy, and audits of how diversity is viewed on the campus. That prompted the administration to block more than $2 billion in federal grants to the institution. Ron Taylor reporting.
More on these stories, townhall.com.
You heard me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95. An easy, affordable way to see how it could literally change your life, like it has mine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Trying it couldn't be easier with their three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. And it just takes a phone call to 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, every day you feel better is a day you live better. Try Relief Factor's three-week quick start. Visit ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. Just like to make one more quick announcement. Paul is going to be leading, spearheading. We're going to do a series on German history. It's going to match up with really well with our. We have a Confederate history on third hour when Gene's there. He's been gone about four weeks, but he'll be back next week if we do have a program. I'm going to have to find somebody to set in. To handle the first hour and kind of run the board, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I'm really proud of that. So be looking in the near future. We'll be having this German history series going, German history course. Anyway, we'll go right back to Jason. Jason has some comments about, tell him what you said, Jason.
Yeah, I was telling Paul that, you know, ultimately it comes back to race. And when people are just thinking about their pocketbooks, the economics instead of the demographics, and you have, you know, the Canadians that is quickly going to become a non-white country, you would think that the baby boom generation would say, you know, regardless of what happens, you know, with our pensions and stuff like that, you know, we want to preserve the racial stock for our future generation and would be voting for the conservatives. But it sounds like that they did not do that.
No, and Jason, this is the result of, I'm going to say 70 years, really ever since the Second World War, propaganda against race and racial pride. And it's become more intense every year. So people in my generation have, not everybody, of course, but many have been brought up with the notion that to be proud of being white is to be racist. Is somehow to be bad. Even a moment's thinking, would they feel the same way about being proud of your sexuality? We've been told over and over, gay pride parade, gay pride week, gay pride month, that people have a right to be proud of who they are, but not your ethnicity. But that this contradictory pail of doo-doo has been injected into their thinking. So many do not think in terms of keeping Canada European, keeping Canada white. That's a horrible thing to say. So that's why, you know, not everybody, of course, but right. Unfortunately... a fair number, and as you were saying, that race is the major factor. I've been watching for little contradictions. I watch a lot of Fox News, much less CNN, but spokesmen for the U.S. administration, including what's her name, Noem.
Yes, Noem.
Christy Noem the other day said, you know, if you come to America legally through the right channels, you're welcome, and you know you'll have a great future and a good home. But you're coming as an illegal, then we're coming for you. Okay, that's good. I mean, the latter part's good. The first part, though, if you fill out the paperwork and you get admitted legally, you're fine. Well. That's not fine. That's why you've got these Indians. They've swamped Canada, and many of them have come in legally. And I think it's probably the same in the United States. And that's not fine. Yes, better. It's good that one comes legally, but that's the problem with the admissions. The only person who got it in Canada in terms of immigration was the leader of the People's Party. That's the populist party that was sabotaged by the Conservatives. And Maxime Bernier, I know him. I heard Max just last Saturday in my town where I live now, in Hamilton, Ontario, and he has called for a moratorium. We've got to do that to get control of the numbers, to build the housing and the medical facilities to handle the people that are here now, that were brought in the organized invasion of the last 5 years by Trudeau. And very interestingly, one of the conservative columnists in the National Post, a man named Matthew Law, he's Chinese, but he generally writes quite well. He was talking about the various parties running in the election. This would be about 2 weeks ago. And he said, we can write off the People's Party of Canada. They're just fringe. They've adopted a lot of quirky stands like a moratorium on immigration. That is just unacceptable in our society. Why is it unacceptable? That explains why the media, liberal, left-wing, much of it's left-wing, and even Zionist conservative, completely shunned the People's Party. They got no publicity. I don't like to say use the word conspiracy, but it's clear to me there was, if not a conspiracy, an understanding. Isn't it interesting? An understanding that involves the left, the middle, and the squishy right. They're all agreed on that. And there.
It seems like that. You know, when people talk about, we're talking about immigration, let's just do it the legal way. It's like, well, I mean, the legal immigration, that sounds great, but it's all from your third world countries. It's not from your first world countries, which is white countries. it's all from your third world countries. So it's like, well, the legal immigration sometimes is worse than the illegal immigration.
Yes.
Yes, because it's harder to criticize. The low-hanging fruit are these people like, I forget his name, but he's a father from Maryland. He's actually a gangster and so on, and he got deported down to El Salvador, and the Democrats want him back.
Abrego Garcia.
His name is
Abrego Garcia. He was an MS-13 convicted. You know what? He was stopped in the state of Tennessee by the Tennessee Highway Patrol, Paul, back in 2022. And the Highway Patrol got him out, and they said, and one of the Highway Patrolmen, I was watching this the video, the camcorder they used in the patrol cars, and one patrolman told the other one, he said, dude, this guy's human trafficking. They had stopped this, our Garcia, they had 8 people in a van. None of them could speak English. He said they were scared to death. They couldn't get them to say anything. But the Tennessee Highway Patrol. I don't know why the Tennessee Highway Patrol called ICE. They should have carried their ass to jail. But they called the feds, and the feds came out and told us Tennessee State Troopers, well, just let him go. So they let him go, and it's come to find out the guy is the MS-13, very violent. It is and they do know that he's a trafficker, but they let him go. And like you said, he's a hero, a martyr of these Satan worshiping Democrats. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, yeah, but you know, at the same token, though, that was under the Biden administration where they were not allowing ICE to do anything. So even if ICE did show up, the Biden administration was not allowing them to take them and you know, deport them or anything like that at all. But you know, I think you're wrong, Eddie. I think no, he was just trying to bring those eight men to a better life. You know,
he was. You know, I think I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go get go to confession and get absolved from all my. That's exactly. I'll have to go to see the father right after this. Maybe follow him. Okay. No doubt. No doubt about that. But you're right. You know, we're up on the break, but I like to ask people. I like to tell that in my case, I'm very proud of being white. I don't hate my children. I love my children. I'm glad they look like me. I want my grandchildren to look like me. I want my great-grandchildren to look like me. I'm proud of my grandparents. I idolized my grandparents. They were white. I idolized them. I honored them. My great-grandparents were white. And I like to ask these people, did you hate your parents? Do you hate your children? Then why not stick up for them and defend your own people, for God's sakes, man? People, we've got to go to a break. This will be their last break of the third hour. And it's gone all too fast, but we'll be right back after this quick break, folks. Hang on to your seats.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Ooh, Blood River Radio family. Incredible as it seems, this is the last segment of this program. And once again, I'll just remind you, I may or may not be here. We may not have a program next week. If I can get somebody to come in on the first hour to fill in for me, it's kind of hard to get somebody to co-host nowadays. People are so busy. Monica's off doing her thing. You know, Gene's comes and goes. But I think Gene's supposed to be back next weekend. But anyway, just we'll play it by ear next week. I hope we can have a program next week. I really do. But I have to go. I've committed to St. Jude for this weekend, and I do that once a year. I've also got to work a Greek festival, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, go back to you, Jason. We're talking about that. I was telling about these people that I like to ask young people if they hate their parents. Did you hate your mom and dad? Did you hate your grandparents? And you do realize they're white. You do realize that you're white. And if this immigration policy continues on, if the policies that you espouse continue on that you say you're for, you realize you'll have no children, you'll have no great-grandchildren. The white people will become extinct. They'll become like, you know, the passenger pigeon. there'll be a memory. And I'll just say, in the fastest way to exterminate black people on Earth is not to exterminate them directly, but indirectly. If you get rid of the white people on Earth, then the other colored races would die because, like I heard one fella say, the blacks are incapable. They can't organize a two-car funeral. So anyway, and they'll die from starvation and killing each other. But anyway, go back to you, Jason. I know I'm kind of rambling on now, son.
Well, no, I mean, that was a good point. I mean, I know my dad, he'll when he's talking to reporters, you know, he'll tell them the same thing. I said, you know, you love your wife, you know, more than, you know, I love my wife more than your wife. You know, do you love your kids more than my kids? You know, and it's kind of the same thing. So people understand that loving your people and loving your race doesn't mean you're a hater and bigot. That means that you're racially kin to them, that you're kinfolk, and you're going to have more of an affection for them. And so it doesn't mean that you're going to hate this other race at all. But, you know, when you're talking about immigration, you know, Eddie, is, you know, in the United States anyway, you know, I'm not sure how Canada is, but I know in the United States, you know, what we see and what we've been promoting is, you know, the word balkanization, we've been calling it localism. But, you know, you're seeing a natural trend of white people moving out of your major cities. They're moving into rural areas. They're moving into, the heartland of America because they're getting away from the diversity. You know, the diversity that's supposed to have been promoted for all these years saying it makes everything great is a lie. And now all these cities are third world countries. There's just a disaster area. And you go to any European country, you go to the United States, you go to Canada, you go to Europe, wherever there is a majority non-white, it's a third world country. And so, you know, here in the United States, you know, I think one thing we have that's going for us anyway is that there are people that are moving out of your major cities, they're moving to rural areas, and most of that is your white folks because they see what the diversity has done in these major cities. And so that, you know, to us anyway, that's a glimmer of hope. I know Canada's, it's harder because their laws are probably different and they're further north, so they're not probably not maybe able to move out. You know, I don't know what the policies are, but I'm sure it's harder. But, you know, in the United States, I think that is one positive thing we have.
Well, the trend is the same, Jason. People move out of the heavily, quote, diverse areas into whiter areas. That's a trend right across the country. For the reason, no matter what they say, you know, diversity is our greatest strength, they don't want to live with too much diversity because quite often it involves living with crime, living with stores and hordes of people that are just not like you. You know,
I know one of your biggest campaign slogans in the past has been gridlock, you know, just traffic gridlock.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, yes, that too, that, because of bad planning. You know, the network of roads in the GTA, that's the Greater Toronto Area, the western tip of Lake Ontario, the basic network of roads is the same as it was in 1980. We've shoved about 4 million more people into the same area. It's elementary, my dear Watson. There's going to be gridlock, you know.
You know, talking about cities becoming this, they're like a third world jungle. Everybody knows that I live in Memphis, and yeah, I guess I'm hard-headed in some ways. I guess it's dumb because the old adage that discretion is the better part of valor. And I was talking to Jason and Paul during the break. Most everybody's mama knows about the stairs I talk about down on the river on Riverside Drive. Well, in my lifetime, Vance Avenue has always been dark. It's, in some ways, it's not as dark now as it once was because the city and the state has come in and the feds and bulldozed down a lot of the black hatcheries. I won't say what my dad used to call them, but these housing complexes, which is communities, you know, the two-story apartments built just specifically for blacks to house them, free of charge, of course. Free, if not reduced, utility bill, light, you know, your light, gas, light, gas, and water, free, subsidized. They've put, now those weren't good enough for them. They put up these townhouses and these really luxurious apartments. Anybody would love to move in. And if you're graduating from law school, medical school, you're starting to make a little bit of good money. You want to move in there, those areas down there, to virtue signal to how wonderful you are, because you want to live in these multi-priced apartments, luxurious apartments, that, and they're priced on your rent, what you pay depends on how much you make. So good old communism, you know. If you're an old darky, if you're an old darky, you can get in there for peanuts. But if you're a young doctor or a white or a young a lawyer who's just starting to make good money, you pay through the nose. But that's why you get the virtue signal. But I go through there, and I'm telling you flat out, I know people, they won't go to Memphis. I'm one of the few people that I still ride down there because they have the best workout place in the country. It's beautiful. You got the river. You got these tremendous hills to run up and down. There's no place I know in Memphis that has stairs like that if you're trying to get in shape to do marathon running, stuff like that. So I ride my bike down there, but I know I'm taking chances. And here's the thing: it is a damn jungle down there. Very few people like to go downtown now. Very few white people. They won't admit it. They will not say why they don't want to go. They'll just say, "Oh, I don't want to go to Memphis because of the high crime rate." They won't say, "I don't want to go there because I'm afraid of the niggas." And they will not admit who's causing the crime rate. They will not admit it. I know people, friends of mine, they rather you put them over a burn them alive at the fire before they would say they're afraid of blacks or the blacks cause the high crime. They're going.
And then you can't solve a problem if you can't name it. The problem is not the area. The problem is the people in the area.
Yes. Absolutely. I remember when I was a kid, of course, I'm 78 years old. I was 78 years old, the 6th of last month. And I remember everybody used to go downtown. Our parents take their kids downtown. Of course, mine were split up when I was real young. But I would could go downtown. They had these electric streetcars that went around electricity. It was so nice. It was all white businesses. The blacks were kept in control. We still had a Klan presence in Memphis then, my uncle told me. And if the blacks got out of control, they knew what was going to happen. They knew they would be prosecuted, and if they were guilty, they'd be put in jail. And if they were lucky, they would go to jail. But it's totally out of control. It's a damn jungle down there. No, I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how dangerous it is down in Memphis, Tennessee. It's all black everywhere. And when I do go down there, I love it when they come up and try to hit me, these blacks. Or if they see a white person, they come up and, "Oh, you got any change?" I says, "Yeah, I sure do. Can I have it?" "No." I said, "Do I look like a damn ATM machine? Why you come to me? Why can't you go to your black brother over there? You know, you're coming to look. You cannot intimidate me. You know, you're lucky if you get away from here in one piece, if you don't get the hell away from me." But, and I'm not there just by Dean. But go ahead.
Ready, Eddie, you're a role model. That's the way these people should be treated. I love it. Do you have any change? Yes, but not for you.
Yeah, I'll say, "Yeah, I got plenty of change. I got some right here." But you're not getting it, Nick. You know, I mean, and I probably should say this in the air. We're almost out of time. I had my trusty 45 one time. This has been several years ago. My family was with me when they were behind me. And this nig was following me. So I knew he was. So I intentionally went inside a dark parking garage. So he, knowing he would follow me in there. And my family laughed their butt out because that nig came out of that parking garage like he was in maximum overdrive, buddy. He did not like what the barrel he was looking. He was looking straight down the barrel of a 45 automatic, folks. And that's what you have to be ready to do in this country right here. But I know, hey, I got way off the script here, y'all. Well, Paul and Jacob, thank you so much for coming on. We've run completely out of time. I love y'all coming on. I'll get y'all back on again soon. And I'm really excited about this Truth and Justice for German Society in our program. We're going to get going for a German Historical Week series. Anyway, people, I will let you go. Thank you again, Jason. Thank you again, Paul. Yep. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. For tuning in same time next week. Hopefully we'll be here. Bye-bye, everybody.